Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children." We'll be going home when Jesus steps out.
Good evening to all listeners. This is Eben. We thank God for another Saturday evening. It's always a privilege to come your way. And indeed, we are living in interesting times. And if you still don't believe the word of God, I believe the things happening now should let you believe that the word of God is a true living book. Because you read what Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, and you look at the news, it's exactly what it is. You know, let me just read excerpts of it. 24:6-9. I think that's, I just need it for this portion. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." And that's the encouragement. We should not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. The end is not yet. Underline that. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. Underline famines. There shall be pestilences. Underline pestilences. And earthquakes. Underline that. In diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Beginning. So the truth is that we've not reached anywhere. We are just at the early stages of the things that have to happen. And it's quite interesting that a lot of believers sometimes think that the church will not see the things that I just read. For whatever reason, I don't know how come we believe that. And we think we are going to escape before all these things. Interestingly, Jesus said these things before he would come. These are the things that will happen. So for what, I just can't understand how we can jumpstart things. We will bypass these things. And then suddenly Jesus will come without seeing all the things he's listed. These are just a few of it, not even all. So the fact that we are seeing things that the Bible talks about does not mean that he's coming today. Because if you really study it well clearly, these are the beginning. So if the thing is the beginning, then we just have to know that this is it. I mean, it's a rough ride ahead. And we rather have to know him. That's why last week I started talking about knowing God in these times. We really have to know him. And tonight's news, by the time I finish it, we understand why we need to really know God. And we have to talk about it, knowing God in these troubling times. If anyone tells you that the world is going back to normalcy, things are well and good before COVID as we knew it, forget it. That person is lying to you, or that person is ignorant of, he doesn't know what he's talking about. The world has changed forever. Oh yeah. You know, we talk about the New World Order, the Great Reset. People think some of these things are just conspiracy theories and all. Today I'll play to you, Joe Biden said it this week himself, that the new world order is up. You know, the system is going just as the globalists have planned. Coincidentally, it also aligns with the word of God. So, of course, the word of God has to be fulfilled, and people have to do things to let it be fulfilled. So that's the season we find ourselves. A lot of people are doing things to let the word of God look exactly as it should, a true living book. All right, let me first start off with today's news. A lot. I don't know if I can finish all, but I'll see how fast I can move through. There's this report I saw, the UN report of the World Food Program of the UN, and they give a summary of something. Let me just read it. The title of their article, this is on their homepage, WFP, World Food Program. You can search it on their website. A hunger catastrophe. So you see, this is not a Ghana issue that I'm talking about. This is at the UN level. As 811 million people go to bed hungry every night, the number of those facing acute food insecurity has more than doubled from 135 million to 278 million since 2019. A total of 44 million people in 38 countries are teetering on the edge of famine. The seismic hunger crisis has been caused by a deadly combination of four factors. One, conflict is still the biggest driver of hunger, with 60% of the world's hungry living in areas afflicted by war and violence. Events unfolding in Ukraine are further proof of how conflict feeds hunger, forcing people out of their homes and wiping out their sources of income. Two, climate shocks destroy lives, crops and livelihoods, undermine people's ability to feed themselves, and have displaced 30 million from their homes globally in 2020. Three, the economic consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic are driving hunger to unprecedented levels. And then four, and has last but not the least, the costs of reaching people in need is rising. The price of World Food Program is up by 30% compared to 2019, an additional $42 million a month in moving food to even the needy places. So this is a summary that they gave on their website regarding the current situation. But I'll go into further details from other news sources as I go on. For those who remember, somewhere December, I think, I talked about how China is hoarding food. And it's one of the reasons why food prices are going up. It's one of the factors. It's not much talked about, though, but it's one of. This afternoon, I was reading from one Japanese business site, their Nikkei Index, one of their sites. And the title was, China hoards over half of the world's grain, pushing up global prices. Less than 20% of the world's population has managed to stockpile more than half of the globe's maize and other grains, leading to steep price increases across the planet and dropping more countries into famine. The next question we should ask is, why did they do this? Because they knew this season was coming. They knew. So before the war came, they were stocking up food. At a point, somewhere late last year, at a point, they even announced to the citizens to even stockpile food. Aside what the government itself is doing for the whole nation, they also ask citizens to do it at a point in time. So they knew this thing was coming. This war is coming. They themselves are planning to also take Taiwan, just as Russia is trying to do. But they will not struggle the way Russia is struggling with Ukraine. But it's just to let you understand that they understand the times. They understand what is happening in the world. So they are prepared for it. And you ask yourself, are we prepared for it in Ghana here? I mean, it's sad, but we are nowhere near ready for what is coming. All right, so let's get into first earthquake news, and then we'll get into some war news. Then we get into some reports on the issues of the critical issues we are seeing around. Series of earthquakes have rattled the globe over the past 7 days, leaving some to ask if it is signs of the time or sign of the end times. Well, it's sign. It's, Jesus said we'll be seeing it in diverse places, so it's not strange. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilences. There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. This is Luke 21, verse 1. So the study of geology just got exciting as tremors were recorded all over the globe for the past week, beginning with a deadly earthquake in Fukushima last Wednesday. The Azores in the Atlantic Ocean are still shaking from the wave of over 1,100 tiny tremblers. The tremors could point to an ominous era, as the seismic activity is prophesied in the end of days. Since Saturday, around 1,100 earthquakes ranging in intensity from 1.9 upwards shook the Azores, an autonomous region of Portugal in the mid-Atlantic, made up of 9 volcanic islands. Authorities are concerned that the tremors could presage a major volcanic eruption. But in Philippines, explosive volcanic eruption in Philippines prompts the evacuation of thousands. It warned that thousands of people fled their homes near the Philippine volcano Saturday after an eruption sent ash and steam and hundreds of meters into the skies. The Tao volcano, which sits in the picturesque lake south of Manila, exploded with a short-lived burst in the morning. The Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology, said in a statement, it warned further eruptions were possible. So things are happening, and these are just a few of the events happening regarding the earth. A lot of earthquakes. If you check the USGS website, you see the reports today alone, the number of quakes, you'll be amazed to see how many things happen today. A lot not being reported because it's not really done destruction or cause harm. All right, so we hear of the wars, the rumors of wars. In Saudi Arabia, they are having a challenge now. You know, Iran through their proxy, Yemeni rebels are attacking Saudi. In recent times, and yesterday there was one such. So this headline says, Saudi Aramco storage petroleum facility comes under attack, causing major fire. Yemen's Houthis, these are the rebels in Yemen, and they are backed by the Iranian government. So it's a proxy war between Iraq and Saudi. Iran and Saudi. Uh-huh. So Iran's Houthis said they launched attacks on Saudi energy facilities on Friday, and the Saudi-led coalition said oil giant Aramco's petroleum products distribution station in Jeddah was hit, causing a fire in 2 storage tanks, but no casualties. A huge plume of black smoke could be seen rising over the Red Sea city where the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix is taking place this weekend, according to eyewitness. The coalition statement on state media said the fire had been brought under control and flames could be seen in the live footage aired by the Saudi-owned television channel. The Saudi Energy Ministry said the kingdom strongly condemned the sabotage attacks, reiterating that it would not bear responsibility for any global oil supply disruptions resulting from such attacks. And then the state news agency SPA reported, citing an official in the ministry. The ministry blamed Iran for continuing to arm the Houthis with ballistic missiles and advanced drones, stressing that the attacks, quote, would lead to impacting the kingdom's production capacity and its ability to fulfill its obligations to global markets, unquote. Tehran denies arming the Houthis. There was no immediate comment from Aramco. And you know, Saudi is the number one oil producer in the world, and any attacks on them can shake the world oil prices. And you know, this evening I was talking to Pastor Friend, Pastor Roger, he's been on this show by air, by phone a number of times. You know, it just looks like the systems are just, something should happen for the world to be a difficult place. That's how it looks like, because when something is reducing a bit, then something else hits to ensure that the tempo is maintained. So look at the oil price now, the world crude, and you know, when it looks like okay, it's reducing a little because the Russian issue is a bit production is being getting alternative places to get in, and then suddenly these attacks from the Yemeni rebels on Saudi kicks in, so it starts pushing the prices up again. So it's like a sustained effort is ongoing to just keep things in the high, and it's quite worrying. But these are the times we are in, strange times. All right, so UK to send 6,000 missiles to Ukraine in new support. So they've promised to send, according to the British Minister Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And so as for the war, they are not fighting directly with Russia, but you know, they are arming Ukraine to be doing so. Russia has kept on warning that the countries that are arming Ukraine are also attacking them, because you are arming them, so it's indirectly you are fighting them. So they can also at will choose to retaliate in whichever way they want or they can. Well, we hope it doesn't explode into something else like that, but well, let's see how things go. This headline says Putin's use of chemical weapons would trigger a response in kind, quote, would trigger a response in kind, unquote, according to Joe Biden, the U.S. president. So President Joe Biden offered the first indication of how the U.S. might enter the war in Ukraine militarily when asked Thursday about mounting Western concerns that Russian President Vladimir Putin may employ chemical weapons to break the burgeoning stalemate there. Quote, it would trigger a response in kind, unquote, Biden told the reporters at NATO headquarters in Brussels shortly after meeting with other heads of state gathering there for an emergency session to discuss the month-old conflict. Quote, whether NATO would cross, unquote, he said, we would make that decision at the time. It was not immediately clear what Biden meant by in kind, though it seems virtually certain he was not suggesting further use of chemical weapons. That act would violate international law and would not be in keeping with the Biden administration's foreign policy approach. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for clarification of the in-kind, the meaning of in-kind. But it looks like afterwards they've tried to water it down, that they didn't mean they are going to retaliate boot for boot in terms of chemical weapon, but they will look at how to tighten the sanctions or other things. You know, I'll come to this sanction issue again in the course of the program. Then the next one says Russian state TV warns that World War III could be unleashed soon, and it would be nuclear. So Russian propaganda claims that Vladimir Putin will unleash his nuclear weapons early if NATO peacekeepers are put on the ground in Ukraine, which would spark World War III. The Russian president's tightly controlled state TV went into overdrive to warn alliance leaders against deploying any troops, even acting to maintain peace. The latest threats from the Kremlin came as footage showed the funeral with full military honors for Deputy Commander of the Black Sea Fleet, Andrei Pali, 51, killed during the fighting in Mariupol on March 20th. The broadcast saw blunt and concerted warnings from Putin's propaganda mouthpiece on state television, warning that if NATO sends peacekeepers to Ukraine, they will initiate World War III. All right, then we have this next one, which is quite interesting. Russia rebukes Israel and tells Syria that the Jewish state is provoking Moscow to react. Let me repeat. Russia rebukes Israel and tells Syria that the Jewish state is provoking Moscow to react. The Russian ambassador to Syria, Alexander Efimov, warned on Thursday that Israeli strikes in Syria are provoking Russia to react in one of the strongest Russian condemnations of Israeli operations in Syria. Efimov additionally complained that Israeli strikes aim to escalate tensions and allow the West to carry out military activities in Syria. The statement comes amid the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine, which Israeli officials have condemned. Israel has also provided hundreds of tons of humanitarian aid to Ukraine and opened a failed hospital in the country. Early this month, the Russian embassy in Israel said that it saw military coordination with Israel in Syria continuing, saying our military officials discussed the practical issues of this substantively on a daily basis. This mechanism has proven to be useful and will continue to work. In January, Syria and Russian military jets jointly patrolled the airspace along Syria's borders, including near the Golan Heights, with plans to make such flights regularly. The Interfax news agency quoted Russia's defense ministry as saying, in February, Russia stated during the meeting on the UN Security Council that it does not recognize Israel's sovereignty over Golan Heights. The last Israeli airstrike in Syria was reported on March 7th when an alleged Israeli airstrike targeted sites near the Damascus airport and the Al-Assad suburb with Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, that's Iranian, so just reporting that two of its officers were killed in the strike. So now Israel getting a warning from Russia. Interesting wars and rumors of wars indeed. All right, so further to the east, we have tensions grow as North Korea launches ICBM, that's intercontinental ballistic missile. So they launched a new one potentially capable of reaching U.S. and South Korea fires multiple missiles in response. The world looks like the world is on overdrive. Everything is just off. North Korea test fired possibly its biggest intercontinental ballistic missile toward the sea on Thursday, according to its neighbors, raising the ante in the pressure campaign aimed at forcing the United States and other rivals to accept it as a nuclear power and remove crippling sanctions. The launch, which extended North Korea's barrage of weapons test this year, came after U.S. and South Korea militaries said the country was preparing a flight of a new large ICBM first unveiled in 2020 October. South Korea's military responded with live fire drills of its own missiles launched from land vehicles, aircraft, and a ship, underscoring a revival of tensions as nuclear negotiations remain frozen. It said it confirmed readiness to execute precision strikes against North Korea's missile launch points as well as command and support facilities. Sky News reported that North Korea's rocket launch has been branded a clear violation of the UN Security Council resolutions by South Korea's Deputy National Security Advisor, as South responded to the provocation by firing multiple missiles, its military said. Japan's Coast Guard earlier said North Korea launched a projectile which landed inside Japan's exclusive economic zone, EEZ, that's 170 kilometers west of Aomori Prefecture in northern Japan. Now, with the world focused on Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Pyongyang appears to have tested a weapon that could threaten the U.S. mainland, prompting a strong condemnation from the White House, which called it a brazen violation of multiple U.N. Security Council resolutions. And, you know, when it comes to Japan, now, you know, Japan at the extreme end of Russia, they are the extreme east, and Japan is their neighbor. And they've also started flexing their muscles there by doing military drills in the islands that they have disputes with Japan. And so this week, Russian military naval vessels have started doing their drills there as well. You know, and Japan is really angry about it. You know, there's tension all over. Tension all over. All right, so let's get into some serious stuff which concerns you and I, because when it comes to food, it's serious, important. All right, so this one's from Israel 365 News. The headline is, this is not my words, so their own, this is what's on the site. Israel heeds Joseph's advice, stocks up on wheat for upcoming farming. Interesting. Citing fears of possible food shortages amid the Ukraine crisis, Israel's transportation minister instructed that cargo ships importing grain and animal feed be given priority for unloading at the port docks over the next month. This solution of stocking up on grains before a predicted famine mirrors the Bible's Joseph. Joseph, son of Jacob, was promoted to be the prince of Egypt after he interpreted Pharaoh's dream of withering grain stocks, devouring healthy ones as an imminent famine in Egypt. Joseph then advised Pharaoh to stock up on wheat to have enough reserves once the famine strikes. That's Genesis 41, I believe is a common thing we all know. All right, so Israel appears to be heeding Joseph's ancient advice in prioritizing wheat over other imported goods. We face challenges in our food security at the time being because of the worrying developments in Ukraine, noted the transportation minister Merav Mikhaili in a statement on Thursday. The state of Israel must safeguard its food security by strengthening our domestic agriculture, taking steps to get the grain and fodder that Israeli agriculture relies on. The nation will quickly ensure that we maintain Israeli food security despite changes worldwide. Let me repeat. The nation will quickly ensure that we maintain Israeli food security despite underlying changes worldwide. I hope you understand what I'm reading. According to the statement, shipping and ports head Yigal Maor already took several steps to implement the decision. Earlier this week, Israel 365 News reported that the UN also warned of global food shortages. The UN also warned of global food shortages. David Beasley, the UN World Food Programme's executive director, warned that the conflict in Ukraine could spark off a refugee crisis worse than any ever seen before, a global food crisis in a combination. He described it as hell. Okay, there we go. This next article is quite long, but it gives a very good summary of all that is happening. So let me see if I can just glance through quickly. The title is, "The skyrocketing price of fertilizer has caused a worldwide nightmare that is going to impact every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet." Before I proceed with that, this week, I think yesterday or so, yeah, I heard on one news network in Accra, the farmer was saying that he used to buy the fertilizer he was buying for 80 cedis. This was the farmer himself saying it. Now it's 500 cedis, even that he can't get some to buy. From 80 to 500. Look at the quantum jump. Even that he's not getting to buy. So you see, when you are in the city like this and you have no idea what is happening in the farming areas and we are not hearing any reports. Unfortunately, our media houses are not helping. Most media houses, very few media houses are really giving the true state of what is happening. So a lot of people are not aware of what is happening. And for listeners of issues, bless God, we thank God that you are aware. No listener of issues for the last few months can say that they don't know or they are surprised by what they are seeing in the news and what is happening in the world. We've been talking about this for some time now. So you should not be surprised, but it's worrying. Let me read this, the article I was talking about. It says, it starts from, okay. "For the past couple of years," that's the writer, "I have been specifically warning that a major global food crisis was coming. In fact, in recent months, I have been writing about this multiple times per week. At first, I think that a lot of people out there thought that I was exaggerating. But at this point, the reality that we are heading into a major global food crisis has become undeniable. In fact, Joe Biden just told a press conference in Brussels that the world food shortages are going, let me quote exactly, the world food shortages are, quote, going to be real, unquote. And that's a real, when I saw that news, I said, here we go. If the U.S. president is saying it, then you better take it serious. President Joe Biden said that the world will experience food shortages as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and production increases were a subject of discussions at the group of G7 meeting on Thursday. It's going to be real, Joe Biden said at a news conference in Brussels. The price of the sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and other countries as well. And Biden is definitely not alone. If you can believe it, things are already so serious in France that the government is actually considering implementing a food voucher system. President Emmanuel Macron said his government is considering food vouchers to help middle and low-income families afford to eat, calling the problem a worldwide food crisis. I want to put in place a food voucher system to help the most modest households and the middle class facing these additional costs, Macron said in an interview with France Bleu Radio on Tuesday. And then I was floored. That's the writer. I was floored when I read that. The people need to understand that this is not a game. One of the biggest reasons why the outlook for the months ahead is so grim is due to the soaring cost of fertilizer. The American Farm Bureau Federation is telling us that in some cases the price of fertilizer has risen 300%. Fertilizer is a necessity for farmers, allowing them to achieve the high yields needed to meet demand and keep their operations afloat. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, I've read up as then goes on to say that as global energy prices continue to go higher, so will the price of fertilizer. Yeah, because it's directly linked to the production of it, gas and all those things. Then now the war in Ukraine threatens to make things even worse because Russia is such a key exporter of various fertilizers. In 2021, Russia was the world's top exporter of nitrogen fertilizers and the second largest supplier of both potassic and phosphorus fertilizers, according to the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. Let me pause here. So when they were putting these sanctions on Russia, they knew this. They knew that Russia is a major factor when it comes to world food production. So the next question is, why should the whole world be punished because of Ukraine? I mean, logically, if you don't want to fight him, then of course, then it shouldn't be the sanctions that will punish everyone in the world. Because as soon as you sanction Russia regarding the exports, including the fertilizers, that people shouldn't export, you cut them off the SWIFT system, payments cannot be made to them for businesses, payment transactions and international payments and all. Clearly, you are saying that, well, we don't care about the rest of the world going hungry in the name of the sanctions against Ukraine. So the consequences is our back case. That's exactly what these world leaders have done, because they knew it. Not that they don't know, they know that if you touch Russia, you are touching a major part of world food production. Yet, in the name of achieving their own agenda regarding the globalization and their new world order and all, they've closed their eyes, passed sanctions, which is even affecting their own citizens. Macron said it last 2 weeks that, the sanctions is what is bringing these things, but even if the war continues, they will still bring the sanctions. So it tells you that they don't care about the ordinary person going hungry relative to the side effects, the food issues, the rippling effects that will come out, the fallout of these sanctions. So you should understand the game that these people are playing. It is not about us. It's about them controlling the world systems to let it be according to the way they want it. For listeners, I remember talking about this great reset extensively in one of the early editions, 2020, this whole great reset is the same name as the New World Order, which some think is a conspiracy theory. But, it's a reality. their plan is to control the world, control humanity. And, you know, this whole thing, all that we are seeing in the world now, is exactly as they planned it. So it's not strange if you followed the writings of the World Economic Forum, the statements Professor Schwab, their leader, has been making, and a whole lot of other top leaders have been. This is like a perfect opportunity for them to get to a step further regarding the agenda of, you know, the globalization. One means of controlling people is food. Yeah, food is a major. If you want to control human beings, food, if you can put your thumb on controlling the bottom of food, you are in charge. You see, so a whole lot of factors. I mean, I'll find time for another edition and talk a bit more about this whole thing. But let me continue with what I was talking about, the news report. So it goes on to say that most Americans don't understand that when we sanction other nations such as Russia, we are also sanctioning ourselves. We have unwisely, we have unwisely become very dependent on the rest of the world for so many things, and that puts us in a very vulnerable position. For the foreseeable future, the price of fertilizer is going to be incredibly high. You know, this whole shortage and high cost, it started even before the war. For those who have been listening to this, I've been saying it started before. So we can imagine even now what is happening. As a result, farmers all over the globe will be using less fertilizer, and this will result in reduced agriculture production. In other words, a lot less food will be grown. And in some instances, farmers that are still willing to pay for the fertilizer are not able to get it. In fact, in certain cases, that is now even happening in the U.S., corn and soybean farmer John Beckhouse faces a daunting question. In years past, he has never had to ask for what he could get or what he could apply to his crops within the usual agricultural system. But now, the situation has completely shifted. For the first time, we are talking about it's simply not available. Fertilizer is simply not available. Some chemicals are simply not available. For the first time, you kind of recognize you are standing on a three-legged stool with one of the legs starting to weaken, Big House said. In all my years, I've never heard of a corn farmer in Iowa being unable to buy fertilizer. But here we are. And Big House is admitting that a lack of fertilizer would really impact the amount of corn that he is able to produce this year. If, for instance, we were only able to get half of our fertilizer needs, it would cut into the corn yield substantially, probably at least 30%, perhaps higher, depending on the year, Big House said. It's very alarming to hear. Sadly, there are millions upon millions of other farmers all over the world that are being faced with incredibly difficult choices right now. The pivot can be seen in agricultural powerhouse Brazil, where some farmers are applying less fertilizer to their corn, and some federal legislators are pushing to open protected indigenous lands for the mining of potash. In Zimbabwe and in Kenya, small farmers are reverting to using manure to nourish their crops. In Canada, one canola farmer has already stockpiled fertilizer for the 2023 season in anticipation of even higher prices ahead. Meanwhile, there are other major disasters that are also threatening food production. The new bird flu pandemic that erupted inside the U.S. in February continues to escalate. In fact, we just learned that more than 500,000 broiler chickens in Nebraska will have to be put down or that's killed. The Nebraska Department of Agriculture announced on Tuesday that it has confirmed the case of the highly contagious bird flu in a commercial flock of 570,000 broiler chickens, and that the birds will be humanely depopulated and disposed of. The NDA, in conjunction with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, said in a press release the highly pathogenic avian influenza was confirmed in a chicken flock in Butler County, Nebraska, Overall, more than 12 million chickens and turkeys in the U.S. have already been killed as a result of the horrifying outbreak. I believe you can see the picture well. So it's not just the food in terms of the crops. Eventually, animals too are being cut off. So by the time you realize, poultry is cleared as well. Needless to say, that will drive up the price of meat to even higher levels. On the other side of the world, colossal swarms of locusts are devouring crops in Africa once again this year. This time around, it's South Africa that is being hit the hardest. Farmers in the Northern Cape, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape are struggling to control the locust swarms that have damaged and consumed hundreds of acres. Consumed thousands of hectares of grazing land. According to AgriSA, this is one of the biggest locust swarms in years, and with the assistance of donors and Department of Agriculture, farmers are trying everything to save their land and food. Northern Cape farmer Barry Naudi said the locusts have caused a huge amount of damage to his farm. Quote, considering that we just came out of 4 years of drought, and we received our first rains in November last year. In the farms that they have rested on, they have caused absolute mayhem, unquote, he said. No, they said he had lost the grazing land for his sheep. In the couple of weeks, we will go into minus degrees, yeah, because winter is coming, and the veld that has been damaged, and now going into winter is a lot. They have eaten tons of food and have done a lot of damage to us, he said. The locusts arrived at his farm in Richmond in the Northern Cape on Wednesday afternoon and settled there, only flying away on Thursday afternoon. They left behind a trail of devastation. This must count as one of the biggest swarms in recent times. It covered an area of about 5,000 hectares. That is huge. That's about 10,000 rabi fields. Okay. Now they said on Friday the locusts flew into Middleburg in the Eastern Cape, and they are trying to spray them. So the head of the UN Food Program has said that this is the worst global food crisis that we have seen since World War II. All right. So this is the reality. And these are all news reports I'm bringing to you. And let me just read. This headline said that, says, Biden warns that things are shifting and there is going to be a new world order and we have to lead it. In a recent speech from the President Joe Biden, he warned that now, quote, now is the time where things are shifting. And there's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. I mean, let me see if I can play that sound. Let me see. I think I have it on my phone. Okay.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway, you know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it, and we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway, you know, we are at an inflection point, I believe.
Anyway, look like this was unscripted. It wasn't in his speech off the of the scripts, and he just said it as it is. Perhaps I don't think maybe he intended to say it, but he has said it. And so for those who think when you say the New World Order is some figment of some people's imagination, some conspiracy theory, this is it, and we are in it, believe it or not. It's exactly what we are seeing. It's the globalist game that they are playing. Interestingly, for we the Christians who understand the Word of God, their blueprints is exactly how the world is described, in the state of the world is described in the Bible regarding the end times. So we are seeing exactly what the Bible talks about. I mean, all the things the Bible talks about regarding the end times, we are seeing it. And that's exactly how they also want the world to be. All right, so these are a few things that we talked about in the news. The reports are many, 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 many. If I'm to bring all the reports I read in the course of the week, maybe I'll need over 3 hours to talk about them. But that's the state of the world we are in. But as believers, ours is not to fear. Ours is not to fret. Ours is not to worry. Because we know the one who is in control. It's good to know what is happening. It's good to know the state of the world so that then we can know how to pray, how to do things, how to live our lives and all that. That's why we discuss this thing, so that you know where we are in the times we are living in. I'll be back briefly after this beautiful song by Twila Parry, God is in Control.
This is no time for fear. This is the time for faith.
is in control. Beautiful song by Twyla Paris. I like the words. I just love the words. It says, this is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here, carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There is one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that His children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside Him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There's a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? And she sings that twice. She has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see, and He is still the loving Father, watching over you and me. Beautiful song, beautiful song there. God is in control. And last week I started talking about, it's time we know God. And it's very, very important we know God because of the times we are in. We've gotten to the point where there's no room for middle class Christianity, lukewarm type of Christianity, or wishy-washy Christianity, whichever way you call it, Motro Mojo Christian, whatever way, description you have and all. These are no times to play that game of here, little there, little type of, because the system is getting tighter and is going to get tighter. For that one, I remember very well the first edition of this year's issues that I had. I told you that this year is a rough year. It's going to be a rough year. So if you are holding on, you better hold on tight to God. So, if you say God is in control, and God will provide, God will have mercy, God will keep us. You can say all the beautiful jargons and all these things. But how well do we know this God? That's the emphasis of, this last week's and then tonight's, I'm talking about the God issue. How well do we know this God we are referring to, who is in control? How well is our relationship with Him? How serious are we with Him? Do we just see Him as a spare tire or a parachute that we just draw and pull up when, we are in crisis, we are in trouble, then we remember, oh, there's a God, let me go get Him. There's an interesting verse which yesterday I was having a chat with a bishop friend, and during our conversation it came up, and it's been a blessing since I started reading this verse since yesterday in further details. Psalm 103 verse 7. It's quite interesting. I've read it. The Bible is such an amazing book. I've read this, I can't count the number of times, but this time around, I got another insight from it. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. So I started doing a steady reading about it and all, and meditating, thinking about it and all. The Lord revealed His ways to Moses so that Moses could understand not only what the Lord was doing, but also why He was doing it. Because that relationship was solid, tight. Moses understood what God required of His people, that's the Israelites, what to do. He instructed him to convey His messages to Israel, So he goes to the mountain, God appears to him, do this, go and tell them this, write that, and all that. At Mount Sinai, Moses prayed, and this is quite an interesting prayer. Exodus 33 verse 13. Let me open it. Exodus 33 verse 13. All right, here we go. It says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Show me now thy way, if I have found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way. So you see, that's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 103 verse 7, that he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So you see, Moses knew the ways of God. God showed him his ways, the way he did things. He got a deeper understanding because the relationship was at another level. The Israelites didn't have that type of relationship Moses had. So Moses knew his ways, but the Israelites, they knew his acts. So it's like Moses knows why God is going to do this, that. And then the Israelites will see the after effect of. So Moses knew the ways of God. The Israelites knew the acts of God. But there's a difference. The difference is, you see, when the Israelites were complaining and all, Moses didn't complain because he knows the ways of God. He knows the God he's working with. Whereas the Israelites, they just know the acts of God. So it's like, if God doesn't act, then they complain. If God doesn't, he delays in acting, they complain. If he does this, because they just know his acts, but they didn't know his ways, like the way Moses knew his ways. You see, so our knowledge of God should be taken to another level. A lot of us, unfortunately, we are just like the Israelites. We know the acts of God. Oh, God bless me. Some time back, I was in trouble. God provided for me. I was hungry. God fed me. We just know that. So we want to sometimes just hold on as a foundation of knowing God. That's our relationship, the God, our provider alone. But we don't know him at the point where we know his ways. Because that is at another level. So that when we know his ways, that relationship, Abraham had with God, where we have in Genesis 17, 1, where he introduces himself as, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. That level of relationship, that you know God, you know his ways. So you don't know him just for his acts, his acts being providing, protection, all other things. Those are byproducts of knowing his ways. So if you know his ways, automatically the byproducts will follow. But a lot of us have over the period been interested in only the byproducts. But you see, it's dangerous to be at that level of Christianity, because if you are dependent on byproducts instead of being in his ways, knowing his ways, when the byproducts don't come, because byproducts should come from something. So when that something is not there, there will be no byproducts. So if that relationship is not solid to the point where the byproducts will overflow for you to benefit from in terms of like the Israelites, the acts of God, then you get into trouble. And it's very important we really draw the line in this season that we are going to know God at another level. Because it's either we know God well or we are going to fall away. Oh yeah, I remember about 2 weeks or so ago, where the Holy Spirit prompted me that we've entered that season where the falling away is going to be activated. People are going to fall away from the faith. The love of many going to grow cold because of the circumstances that the world is going to experience. If you remember, weeks ago, I talked of a short vision I had where it's like a coming train where you see the head, the engine coming, and then various coaches are following, and it's like calamities one after the other, one event after the other, one problem after the other, one situation after the other. You know, that's the world we are in now. That's the world we are in now. So we should really get to know God well and better. Not my impact, the way, you see, we are no longer at the point where it's like, you know, okay, the God of my pastor. You can't know God through your pastor now. No. We should have a personal relationship with God, not knowing God through your pastor. No. Knowing God yourself. Knowing Him to the point where you know His ways. Not that you are just depending on His acts. Because if we don't enhance our relationship to the point of knowing Him personally, having that solid relationship with Him, then when the winds, when the storms begin to blow, and the storms have started blowing, perhaps you are not understanding what is happening, but anyone who goes to the market, who goes to town, who goes to buy things, can understand that the storms of life is blowing heavily, gradually, it's increasing. So we should understand that these are not things that we can just pray away, that should just vanish overnight. No. Because Jesus has prophesied that these things will come anyway. So for the word of God to be true, these things have to come. But as to how we would endure and go through these things, we need the help of God. We need God. You see, so that is why we should know God. It's because you just can't say God is in control. But which God is in control in your life? The God that is in control in your life, and the God that you would want to be in control in your life, should be a God that you know and you know well. Because if it's just about God, anybody knows, even the devil knows God. Everybody knows God. Everybody. So they're saying, I know God, or God is in control, it doesn't change anything. Yes, just saying it doesn't, if you say God is in control, it doesn't activate His control to be initiated in your life anyway, if you don't have that standing relationship with Him. See, so we should know Him at the point where it's at that relationship level where we know God. We know God. We commune with Him. We fellowship with Him. We spend time with Him. We don't rush out of His presence. We don't have time for Him. It's like His word, we don't even have time to read His word. We don't have time to meditate. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time for anything spiritual. You don't know God. Our priorities are off tangent. I mean, we are not interested in being the presence of God. We are not interested in reading the word of God. You see, it's all about other things. So we don't have time for Him. But under such circumstances, you cannot say you know God, because knowing is at another level. You can know someone and you can know someone in terms of, see, if you know someone, let's say, I know the president of Ghana, I know him, but I've not shaken, we've not shook hands before, I've not spoken to him face to face before, but I know him. But someone too can say, oh, I know the president. Because yes, today he came to Kumasi, he was at the funeral. Even I sat beside him. Oh yeah, we spoke. So if I say I know the president, and that person also says I know the president, we are the definition at different levels, because he knowing the president is different from me knowing the president. But we all say we know the president. But one knows the president and knows him well. If I say I know him, I don't have his phone number. if I say I want to meet him, the bureaucracy and the security alone, forget it. But there are people who, when they are approaching the president, the security move aside a little and then they get to talk to him. So they also know him. And I say I also know him. That's how it is when it comes to knowing God. You cannot say we know God. Everybody, the newborn believer today says he knows God. The old Christian old man says he also knows God. But then as to how well we know him, that one depends on that individual relationship we have with him. So as to that relationship, that one is an individual affair. We have to work it out. The connections to know God, we all have that ability to connect to God and know him well and well. That one is an individual choice. So there are people who spend time, countless hours before God every day in prayer. They know God. There are others who pray just 2 minutes every morning. They also say they know God. So we all know God. But The difference is how well do you know God. This evening, I'm just provoking you, provoking myself. We are provoking ourselves to know God better. It doesn't matter whichever level we are. We can. There's always another level. If you know God at level A, there's room at level B for those who want to know God at level B. For those who are at level B, there's also level C, available room for those who want to know him at that level. So there's always room for improvement. There's nothing like the capacity is full for this level of believers of God or people who know God. For this room is full. So there's no room again. So still be at the low level where you are. No. No matter how high you want to go in knowing God, there's no restriction. There's no limitation. The only limitation is what we place on ourselves. But as to how well you want to know God, nobody will stop you. You can stop yourself. No one will stop you. Of course, the devil will try to stop you and all that. I mean, that's the other side of it. But in terms of our desire to know God, if we say we want to know God, we can know God. Because everything that we need to know God is available to us. So the choice is ours to make. We have to decide that we want to know God better. We have to decide that we want to have a better relationship, a more enhanced relationship with God. Because, you see, we have to know him. I mean, that's the only way I can... We have to know him because the season has changed. And we cannot operate by that old knowledge of God in this new season. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why the phones we use, the computers we use, the devices we use... You'll be there, then it's like updates available. You have to update and restart the device because the update takes you to another level. The season has changed, so we need to update our relationship with God. We need to update it. And every software update that is done, it enhances the system. I mean, of course, there are a few instances where some updates have rather caused more harm than good, but we have to update our relationship with God and to that higher level where if you used to pray 2 minutes, you upgrade yourself to another level. If you didn't read your Bible at all, you start opening your Bible. If you open your Bible a few verses a day, you start going further. We start waiting on the Lord. We start worshiping God. You know, let's see how best and how well we can improve on our relationship with him. He desires to have that relationship with us. But we, unfortunately, are loaded, the cares of this world, loaded us, family, education, career, professional, this, that. So we are the problem. He is not the problem, but we are the problem. So if we renew our minds, then that opportunity is available for us. And I believe that let's understand the need. Let's see it as a necessity. Oh, yes, it's a necessity. Because if we don't see it that way, we'll just be complacent at whatever level we are. But that is not the right thing for us. If there's room to progress, why would you want to sit at the lower level? Why? Because there's room. So why should we want to sit at the lower level? You know, we have to do exploits for the Lord. We have to do great things for the Lord. And let me, Daniel 11:32, and such as do wickedly and against, let me just read the previous preceding. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God. They know their God. Now, this evening's question is, do you know your God? God is in control. We say all that beautiful. But do you know the God you are referring to in that circumstance of God you are mentioning? How well do you know him? You see, we need to know him at another level. There should be no room for complacency. We should encourage ourselves. We should motivate ourselves. We should do everything possible to get to know him better. And, you know, he won't cast us away if you get close to him. He is already desiring that we get close to him. You see, we have to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. It's as simple as that. The principle is there. He is there waiting for us. All these years, he's been waiting. But we are the ones who are busy. We are the ones who are giving excuses. We are the ones who think there's no time, there's no this, there's no that. But if we draw near to him, he will also draw near to us. And it's important that it's good that we do so. It's good that we draw near to God, you know, and put our trust in him. Because the system has changed. I mean, that one, I can't believe by it, but that's the fact. We can't change the system. The world has changed. The system has changed. So our only safety net is the Lord. You know, if you put your trust in man, man will fail you. I mean, man is limited in terms of man. How far can man take you? How well can a man help you and connect you? Because the man you want to trust and depend on, that man doesn't even know what is coming tomorrow. That man doesn't know next week. That man doesn't know next month. But God knows today, he knows tomorrow, he knows next month, he knows. So he is the one that he is the one best to depend on. Let me liken it to a situation like you are on the ground. If you're on the ground driving and you don't have a map that you are using to drive, your view of the road is limited because it's only what you are seeing at that eye level that you know of. But someone who is using a map to drive, a real-time traffic direction where, like Google Map, for instance, where to show you there's congestion here, red, there's traffic, you can be here for 5 minutes, alternative routes, you'll be there for 2 minutes. So that satellite imagery of the road network and the traffic and the timelines and all is available to you. So when you are driving and you use that, you have an advantage. So someone who doesn't know will get stuck in the traffic, and you who have an aerial view through the power of satellites, modern technology, that you can know that, oh, okay, if I use Atonsi Road, I'll be there for 20 minutes. If I go and use the Tech Road, I'll be there for 17 minutes or what. You know that, okay, then let me use the shorter route because technology is telling me that this is better to use. So that's exactly how it is when we are with God. He knows the whole network. He knows the road network. He sees the traffic here and all. So he can tell you that use this road. Avoid this one. Don't go there. Pass here. You see, because he is God, sovereign God. So he can direct our paths. Trust in the Lord. You see, trusting in God is like trusting in Google. So there are instances I use it to drive. I don't know where, maybe sometimes places even I don't know where I'm going. The person I just send the location. But I say, well, let me trust Google to give me the best options, and then I use it. So if I can trust Google to direct me which road to use to avoid traffic and all that, how much more when it comes to things that pertain to our life and our daily living? Why should it be difficult to trust in God? You know, Proverbs puts it nicely, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, in all thy ways, if you know the ways of God, and you connect your ways to his ways, you have a perfect opportunity, a perfect way to use. Because God's ways aligning with your ways is like connecting two things that locks perfectly. It locks. So that it's smooth. It works. His ways connecting with your ways because you have a relationship with him. So trusting in him, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, all, not parts, not partial, not most, and lean not onto thy own understanding. We are in the season where we can depend on our own understanding, we can depend on our own ideas, we can depend on our own strategies. But the psalm is Solomon Proverbs is telling us that we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not onto our own understanding. In all our ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. We need him to direct our paths now. Yeah, I mean, we need him to direct our paths now. You see, when you have a perfect view of the picture at stake, I mean, you listen to the news I talk about and the situation of the world. This is when I was having a chat with the accountants, and he was telling me how a news report, Germany, people struggling to buy oil, struggling at the shop to buy oil. Yesterday I was talking to a friend, she was telling me the sister in Holland said struggling to get oil to buy. You know, so the thing is real. I mean, it's not just a one country issue. It's real. It's out there. It's happening. But you see, it looks sometimes, you know, people are still not able to grasp exactly how the thing looks like. But as I keep saying, if you've been listening to this program, let's thank God that we understand. You know, I have to say it as it is because, you know, if I don't say it, the Lord will hold me accountable for not telling his children what I should have told them. So I know I'll be held accountable if I fail. See, like, you see, Proverbs, Ezekiel 33 talks of if a watchman sees the sword coming and he doesn't warn, you'll be held accountable. So, you see, when you can see the danger ahead and you warn, God cannot hold you accountable. So that's why I started giving the signals way, 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 way back. I remember from August and all those times I was talking about it. It sounded absurd, out of place. It's like, what is this guy saying? No, but, well, the reality is reality. You see, so when we understand, we have a better view of the picture of the state of the world. Now, we go into our closet and we go and talk to our God. The God that you know and the God that you should know, you talk to him. You know, let's now take our problems to God, because he is the one who can guide us. He is the one who can give us the wisdom. He can give us the whatever. I mean, he is the one we should, because worrying will not solve a problem. And that's why I like the song I played. This is not the time to fear, you know. That's why at the beginning of the year, I was dealing on the issue of fear and fear and fear. Because for those, if you analyze it well, the things I was talking about is towards this, the times you are entering. So I was preparing your mind towards the times you are entering, because by the grace of God, I was aware that we are entering into this season. And fear is going to be a major factor. Yes, believers, fear is going to be a major factor. And the devil is going to capitalize on it. That's why I kept talking against the fear, fear, fear. For those who missed those series, I think 3 or 4 editions, spiritissues.info, they are all there. You can listen to them. So this is not the time to fear, because we are in the season where it is very easy to fear, and it is very possible that you'll be tempted to fear. But knowing that you don't have to fear, and the reason why you shouldn't fear because of the God you know, makes a lot of difference. Oh yes, it makes a lot of difference. And it's my belief and it's my hope that we will be encouraged to be motivated to get into our closet, make time with God, find time, communicate with God. Let's reestablish our connection with God. Let's get serious with God. Because, I mean, we have nothing to lose. If you have a good relationship with God, oh yeah, I mean, walking his ways is the greatest thing you can have as a believer. Having a solid relationship with God is the greatest thing you can have as a believer. So let's enhance our relationship with God. Let's be encouraged. You can send your messages. I have a few minutes. I think I have some, but 0244-638-757, only messages or WhatsApp. 0244-638-757. I'll be back after this. I mean, listen to the song again, and I'll be back. All right. So I just have a few minutes. Let me quickly read this one from Michael. He sent me this message. Yes, there were just 9 cooking oil. That's the 1 liter oil and about 6 frying oil in the biggest supermarket in Leuven, Belgium. And all the other sections for different brands of cooking oil and frying oil were empty. I was shocked. This is from Michael. And Isaac is in Cape Coast. He sent me a message, I think, yeah, 2 days ago, no, yesterday. And this was regarding the Joe Biden talking about the famine is real, the food crisis will be real and all that. And this was, I'm reading exactly what Isaac replied yesterday. He said, I had a dream confirming this. You know, and I know him as a dreamer. I mean, he's been sending me lots of, the Lord started showing him all this, I mean, the food issues from around 2020. He has sent me a list of, I mean, he's been sending them to me. And last year, he was still getting them. This year, he's getting all, the Lord has been showing him all these dreams and the warnings about the food, all these things. So yesterday, he said, I had a dream confirming this. And today, I had a dream that the tin of milk, this is like the powdered milk that is now going for around the 30 something Ghana cedis, the powdered milk, that medium size, that type of milk, it was 100 Ghana cedis in the dream. So what we are, is now going for around 30 something thereabouts, but in the dream the Lord showed him it was going for 100. The inflation is serious. And you know, these are the realities. I mean, it's coming. So it's either you believe it or not, but that's the reality. That's why we should know the God that we believe in, and the Lord himself will help us, because we are not in ordinary times. And we all know it. Even the politicians will tell you we are not in ordinary times. So, but we cannot trust in men. It is God that we can trust in. And that's the essence of this evening's talk. Challenging you to know God at another level, challenging you to encouraging you to improve your relationship with God, because it's very, very important. All right, so I'm Eben. Thank God for this evening's edition, and be encouraged. This is not a time to fear, as the song says that I've been playing. And let's get serious with the Lord. Yes, because these are not the times to joke, because the falling away and the love of many growing cold, we are all subject, we can all fall prey to that if we don't guard our hearts carefully. So this is not a time for complacency. That's why you should be serious with knowing God. All right. So you can get the recording on spiritissues.info. And for those in the Telegram, to be put in the group, you can look for Spirit Issues on Telegram. And I will drop the file there as well. Good night, and God bless you.